top of that car went right down on top of the steering wheel. And so I got out that side. The horse got up and took off, you know, just galloping down the road. So I'm standing there and I'm looking at the horse run down the thing. I'm looking at this lady on the other side, and she's looking at me, and I'm looking at her, and she's going, "No way did that happen, right?" And I'm, you know, it's a lot of things like that happened to me. So I can only attribute it to just one thing, that I have a guardian angel. So getting back to when I was saved, 1975, I used to go to the Wesleyan Church over on Walnut Street. It's a Wesleyan church, and there was a Pastor Canarum, and my brother at the time hadn't become a minister yet, Ramon. But I went in and I said, you know, I want to be saved. But as I told you before, I always thought that I was saved back when I was about 5 years old, 6 years old with the Shawns. So I made that a dedication, but got a divorce, got all these things happen to me. Wandered away from Christ and did what I wanted. I know I was hurting him, but you know, I still clung to my Bible. I had a King James Thompson Bible. There was a reference Bible that I had forever. I still have it, but I just never let go of that. I knew that I was wrong. I knew I was sinning, but I wouldn't turn back, you know. So finally, I don't know, when I was in Tucson, I finally gave it all up. I said, you know, I can't live this way. I love the Lord too much. And so I returned, and I've been blessed so much in my life now. Came back, went to church, I worked at the Methodist Church in Tucson, counted all the money, worked with the kids, and the more I got involved, the better it got for me. God's blessed me so much. I've come from a really poor family, and I mean, how poor can we get, right? But he's given everything to me that I have in my life, and it's not what I'm looking for is to get something from God, but I know that he's blessing me all the time. Things I don't even ask for, he gives me, right? And I had a pastor at the Methodist Church there in Tucson. I said, Pastor Mark, I said, why do these things happen to me? Why is God doing this? Why does he do that? Why does he always give me more than I need? And it was a real simple answer. He says, that's what he does, right? That's what he does. That's what he does for all of us. We just have to remember those little blessings of when you're crossing the street and you almost got hit, and well, he's blessing you there too. I've had all my education paid for. I'd never paid one penny for it. But my health has always been good. God's blessed me with so much. Good jobs. But I'm not a material guy. I'm not a money guy. But he's given me more than I can ever repay him, ever. While we were listening to that song, that was the last song there, we were in, you guys know my wife, Patsy? So, anyway, we... So we were in Israel about last year, and they were playing that song on the boat going across the Sea of Galilee, and I was just crying so hard. And every time I hear it, it's like I see him walking on the water. If you ever get a chance, I mean, we did it. We just went out and paid it and said, let's go, man, see what happens. And God just blessed us while we were there. We done so many things, but he's always blessing me. He's always blessing me. So I can't say enough about him. But the thing I want to say is, there's one scripture, if you can bring it up, Jacob, please. Ephesians 6:12. Okay. This is in Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So in the King James Version, let me just read that also, if I may. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the reason I bring this verse up is because it kind of groups everything that I want to say about angels. I think angels is mentioned about 275 times in the Bible, something like that. Depends on which one you read. Again, I just found this number somewhere on internet, that there was like 210 trillion angels. I don't know where they got that number, but it kind of sounded about right. I don't know. But but we're all protected by angels. And let me just say it again, I don't worship, I don't bow down, I don't pay homage, I don't do any of those things to angels. I just know that they're there. There's good ones and bad ones. There's the good angels, and the way I started this thing out is who, what, when, and where on each of the groups of angels, the good and the bad. So with that, the bad angels, are they demons? Are demons fallen angels? And so the answer is yes. When exactly God created angels is open for debate. That's what it said. But what is known for sure is that God created everything good, because God, in his holiness, cannot create something sinful. God's a good God. There's no sin in him. So when Satan, who was once the angel Lucifer, rebelled against God and fell from heaven, in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, one-third of the angels were of the host joined his insurrection, and they were kicked out during a war. There's no doubt that these fallen angels are now known as the demons. So, we know that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, according to Matthew 25:41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus, by using this possessive word, makes it clear that those angels belong to Satan. In Revelation 12:7-9, describes an end times and angelic battle between Michael and the angels, and the devil and his angels. From these and similar verses, it is clear that demons and fallen angels are synonymous. Some reject the idea that demons are fallen angels. They just don't believe that, due to the fact that Jude verse 6 declares that angels who sinned to be bound with everlasting chains. Well, we know that in Job, Satan came in and out of heaven, and they had that conversation about Job. So it's kind of like, well, we know that some of them are loose because they're out here, and there's a ton of them. So I believe that they're coming in and out of heaven all the time. But Satan is the leader of all these folks, so all these angels. However, it's clear that not all of the angels who sinned are bound, as Satan is still free in 1 Peter 5:8. It also talks about Patsy's favorite verse when she talks about Satan is beast. This is 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we're always being chased by that lion, whether it's your mind or whatever it is. There's always that Satan and his group always chasing you. Why would God imprison the rest of the fallen angels but allow the leader of the rebellion to remain free? You know, it seems like he would have just put them all in there, but he gave us all the choice, right? He gives us all the choice of what we want to do in our lives, whether it's good or bad, follow Satan or follow Jesus. It's one or the other. There's no in between. So, the most common alternate explanation for the origin of the demon is that when the Nephilim of Genesis 6 were destroyed in the flood, their disembodied souls became the demons. That's what some folks believe. I don't know, I wasn't there, but makes sense, right? So, while the Bible does not specifically say what happened to the souls of the Nephilim, when they were killed, it is unlikely that God would destroy the Nephilim in the flood only to allow their souls to cause even greater evil as the demons. The most biblically consistent explanation for the origin of the demons is that they are the fallen angels, the angels who rebel against God with Satan. So, my guardian angels, I named him today Al. Because I don't know who he is. I know he's there. He's my best friend. There's nothing else I can say about it is that he's taken care of me all my life. But there's other angels that came into my life. And just most recently, young lady by the name of Jean and her husband, Ollie, these are angels to me, right? Because when we first came to this church, Patsy said to me, "If nobody talks to us in this church, we're leaving." She didn't say it quite like that. But first thing, right out of the chute, we were talking, and Gene and Ollie after service said, "Hey, you guys want to go to lunch with us?" You know what I said, right? "Do I have to pay?" No, I didn't say. I said, that's great, right? I said, let's go. I mean, I'm ready to go. And boy, we had a wonderful conversation in there. My church and Patsy's church, the angels to us, because there's other ones. There's one over there, Dennis, Eddie, you know, and some of my friends, lots of them here, Ty. But we all have angels in a certain way, you know, because we have to, I know I've said this before, but you are sometimes the only thing close to Christ that people will ever see in the street, ever, you know. Today, Josh was walking on the highway, and I was way over here in this lane. I was coming, and I was like, how do I get to him, you know? But he was, I don't know how far he was from church at that time, but I wanted to stop and pick him up, but I couldn't do that. But I felt so heartbroken because I couldn't pick him up, right? And that's the way we should feel when some of our brothers and sisters are walking or whatever they're doing. But I just want to apologize to Josh because he's sitting right there and I felt so bad. But, you know, we got to take care of each other all the time. That's what Gene and Ollie and Ty and the folks here all have taken care of us. I've only been here, what, 3 months, 4 months? But I feel right at home. I'm home, I guess. So I had some other angels, my great-grandmother, Claudia. She was caring for me and loved me. She was 96 years old when she died, and I was distraught. But anyway, she cared for me, loved me, fed me, took care of me. The Shawns, the ones I explained to you, the church we went to, they prayed for me. I'll tell you a story about Mrs. Shawn, right? She didn't like my name, Silver, or Bimbo, whatever they used to call me, right? So she said, Bimbo, can I call you Steve? And I said, sure. It doesn't matter to me. And it's not on my birth certificate, but it is now. You know, it just stayed since I was 5 years old, but she changed my name from Bimbo to Stevie, right? So it's been my name forever, but you guys can call me Steve. So anyway, there was my third grade teacher, Mrs. Perry. She used to pay for me to go to Cub Scouts, right? She used to give me a dime, and she bought my shirt and my little tie. I said, dang, you know, there are some good people out here in this world. I was third grade, right? I'll never forget her. I know she's in heaven. Mr. Itell, he was my vice principal at Columbia School. The old one, right? They built the new one right there on Boulder. But I didn't have a glove. I used to have to borrow kids' gloves. You know, I said, geez, come on. So one day he called me in his office. He says, I got a glove for you, Steve. And I said, all right. So going through this box, and he finds this old three-fingered glove. Have you ever seen a three-fingered glove? They're old, right? So I took it home, and I restrung it, and I polished it and did whatever. And I used that glove for, like, till I was in sixth grade. But Mr. Itell was, there's a lot of people in my life that I call angels that, you know, I'm sure they're in heaven today because people just don't go out of their way all the time to help children, right? Especially kids that, you know, that their parents don't get involved in stuff. There was another Brother Carroll from the Wesleyan Church who was just a... One day he knew I got laid off, right? So he came over and he... No, wait a minute. He did not know I was laid off. So he came over and sat down and gave me an envelope. And I stuck it in my shirt. And he says, where do you work, Steve? And I said, well, right now I'm working for the government. He goes, oh, really? What department? What function? What division? I said, yeah, I'm on unemployment. So he was best guy ever. He prayed for me and encouraged me and, you know, walked me through a lot of stuff in my life. So those are some of the angels that I know personally, right? You know, my wife's an angel. But we all have one. We all have one right now. If you believe it, believe me, because I know that there's been many times in my life that I shouldn't even be standing up here. I should be 6 foot under somewhere, but just blessed me. So, moving on, there are different types of good angels, starting with the highest order. And I just found these on the internet. I didn't even know they existed, but there's the... get back over here. The highest order is the Christ as the angel of God or angel of the Lord. Hebrews 1, 5, chapter 2 and 16. It says, the wording in that kind of threw me off a little bit because I thought they were saying that he was an angel, but when I read the verse 1:5 in the Amplified version, I picked that out. For to which of the angels did the Father ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you, established you as a son with kindly dignity? And again, did he ever say to the angels, I shall be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me? So he's talking about Jesus as that he was, to me, he wasn't an angel, he was his son. So also the cherubims are known for their power and beauty. They're the ones that in the garden when Adam and Eve got tossed out of the garden. That was, I mean, if you just think about it, Patsy and I were talking about it, I said, that must have been the saddest time in the history of the world for some people to get tossed out of heaven. I mean, can you imagine that? Just, that would be so sad. But, you know, they had the best place to live, taken care of, never had to worry, and then they had to be kicked out because of Satan. But he set the cherubims there in front of that gate so they couldn't come back. So let me read that verse for you anyway, just for the hay here. So God drove the man out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he permanently stationed the cherubim and the sword with the flashing blade, which turned around and around in every direction to protect and guard the way the entrance to it, the access to the tree of life. So they give up a nice place just because of a lie they believed. There's another group of angels. It's called the Seraphim. They perform priestly duties. In Isaiah 6, 1 through 7, talks about them. And there's different levels of these, you know, like an army, right? They've got the Seraphim is one of the highest. Then there's also the living creatures are mentioned in Revelation worshiping God. These are, and in front of the throne, there was something like a sea or a large expanse of glass, like the clearest crystal in the center. And around the throne were four living creatures who were full of eyes in front and behind, seeing everything and knowing everything that is around them. Revelation 4:6, some scholars identify these creatures as cherubim, glorifying God and guarding the throne of heaven. Others suggest the creatures represent God's attributes, especially his omniscience, all-knowing, and omnipresence. He's all over. So there's archangels or chief archangels rule kingdoms and planets. That was interesting for me. It talks about it in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the blast of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." So that means all the Calvary people will rise first. Some of you catch that tomorrow. So anyway, again, in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, only Michael is identified as an archangel. Michael is one of the chief princes. You know, he does battle with Satan in Daniel. So, let's see here. In Revelations 12, 7 through 9, "And war broke out in heaven, Michael the archangel and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but they were not strong enough and did not prevail. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the age-old serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who he who continually deceives and seduces the entire inhabited world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." So, just segue into why he was thrown out. I think it was because of the pride that he wanted to be higher than God. He wanted to be more than what God was. And so I think pride is probably one of the major issues that I have sometimes too, you know, thinking we're more than that, right? More than what we should be. But we're not. If you look at the whole spectrum of everything and where we stand and how small and insignificant we are, until you come to Christ, then you become somebody. Then you become what you're supposed to be. And you, a lot of you folks love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can see it right in you right now that you love him so much. But that pride had Satan kicked out of heaven. So there's Gabriel, stands before God and delivers important messages. Remember when in Luke 1:19 says, "The angel replied and said to him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand and minister in the very presence of God, and I have been sent by him to speak to you and bring to you the good news.'" Jesus is coming. That was Gabriel's. That was a pretty good job for Gabriel. I mean, that's important job to say that Jesus is coming to the earth. Common angels, they're in Acts 5:19. "But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, leading them out." He said, I didn't get the rest of that verse anyway, but that's when Paul and they were in prison, and the angel came and I mean, the shackles or whatever they had on them, they got loose. But I didn't bring up that one verse from Joshua. I think it's in Joshua where, and you guys can help me with that, that one angel killed about 185,000 Syrians or whoever they were, right? I don't remember, but just one angel. So if there's 210 trillion angels, we're in big trouble if you're a bad person. So, it just shows how powerful they can be, you know. There was an article that I read, an internet there, that there was a spaceship from Russia was up there, and they were trying to repair some things, and these lights came on, right? Well, they're sitting in there, these astronauts from Russia, and they're looking out, and they can see these, what they said were angels, right? Just stand there. They were like 100 feet tall, and they were just like watching over them and helping them, right? So there's angels for, you know, even if you're a non-believer, they've seen them, right? But I don't know. I thought this was going to be an easy topic. Watch out what you ask for. So, let's see here. Guardian angels are given charge over us, lest we stub our toes. It's in Psalms 91:12. It says, they will lift you up in their hands so that you do not even strike your foot against a stone. Ministering angels are like the one who cooked a hot meal for Elijah when he was running away from the angry Jezebel. So, also, Satan talked to Jesus about that. If you remember that story when he says, if anything happens to you or you fall, you know those angels will take care of you to keep you from being hurt, right? And paraphrase it a little bit, but that's what he said to him. He said, there's nothing going to happen to you because you have those angels, right, taking care of you. So, there's avenging angels are the ones that carry out God's judgment upon mankind for their wicked deeds. In Genesis, Sodom and Gomorrah, we've all read that. That old girl turned to salt because she looked back, right? But, you know, he came down and these people were evil. They were bad. So he turned them all into, well, he dropped, what was it, fiery brimstone. So, death angels bring a type of judgment upon people who persecute innocent groups. A memorial of redemption. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel above the entryway and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to slay you. So there was a footnote there, and it said, another translation is, the destruction which would make Yahweh, God himself, and not an angel of the Lord, the one who would either passes over or destroys. So I think it was probably an angel. I don't think God would ever have to do that. He's got his group. faithful angels of the Lord had been tested and tried at the time that Lucifer rebelled, which caused tumult in heaven, and he fell from God's grace. In 1 Timothy 5:21, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the chosen angels that you guard and keep these rules without bias, doing nothing out of favoritism. So, you know, he just wants us to be faithful, that's all. To be faithful to him, to pray to him, to pray and obey, to do these things every day. My wife and I have a communion every morning. We read our scriptures, and then I bless her and she blesses me. But I was working at this company in Denver one day, and I had this friend of mine that was a Catholic individual, and nice guy. And I was telling him what my wife and I do every morning, and he was like, I think I told you guys, You can't do that communion. You're not a priest. So, well, show me that in your Bible. Just tell me where it's at. I'll go look it up on internet. Just tell me where it's at. He goes, oh, no, you can't do that. And I said, so we didn't talk anymore because he just didn't want to talk about anything else except that. But with the Catholics, I keep it like this. If they talk about Jesus, that's fine. If nothing else, because a lot of my family's Catholic, so I just keep it at Jesus. Anything outside of that, I don't want to talk. Because it doesn't do me no good to say anything because they believe what they believe, and I just pray for them. And some of them converted already, you know, not because of me, but because of, you know, what they're finding out. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of Catholics in heaven. Come on. So, anyway, the angels test man by unknowingly appearing at times to see how individuals treat strangers. And this is your favorite verse. Hebrews 13:2, it says, do not neglect to extend hospitality to strangers, especially among the family of the believers. Being friendly, cordial, and gracious, sharing the comforts of your home, and doing your part generously, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. You know, there's... what is that chapel that was built down in Santa Fe? Some guy showed up and they built it and they couldn't. It was called the Lariat. I think it was called that. I'm not sure. Some of you guys probably know. But anyway, he built this spiral staircase. And they couldn't figure out where he got the wood. Because if that wood didn't come from there, they didn't know how he got it in. They brought in some engineers from MIT to go look at it and say, hey, how'd you put that together? They couldn't figure it out. So to me, I think some people say it was Joseph. I said, I don't know about that because he was a carpenter. I don't know. But I think it was an angel that came there to help them with that. And these ladies took care of, you know, poor and homeless. They were the nuns that took care of people there at that time. But pretty interesting. That's right. Thank you. Yeah, that's correct. But again, I was just going to just go over a little bit of the levels of angels. The Sephirim, the dominations, their job is to regulate the duties of the other angels and ensure that the God's wishes are carried out. Virtues, that's another group, the angels of grace who bring God's blessings to earth, usually in the form of miracles, known as the brilliant and shining ones. The powers, their job is to prevent the fallen angels from taking over the world and keeping the universe in balance. In Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any other powers can separate you from the love of God. That was one of my old verses that I always kept in my heart because nobody can take you out unless you go out and do it on your own because he's going to take care of you. Let's see. The cherubims, I talked about those. Archangels. Angels are the celestial beings closest to humans. They act as intermediaries between the Almighty and humanity, often called our guardian angels. A conventional representative of such is a being, a human form with wings, usually in white robes. I mean, these are just things that I just plugged out of there. But, yeah, that's all I had on the angels. But I'll tell you one thing. When you get up here and you pick a topic, make sure that you pick a topic that you can find almost anything, everything on, because some of this stuff goes on and on and on. You can find a lot of information on angels. So that's all I had. You want me to sing a song? Oh. No, we're not taking questions today. You got You got to divert those to next week. What is your question? I'll try. Go ahead.
Well, I know that a third of the angels fell along with Lucifer. Yeah. Right? So that left two-thirds, by my count, in heaven. Yeah. So by that count, we won.
Absolutely, yeah. Amen. Absolutely, yeah. Plus we have Jesus, right?
Plus we have God, yeah.
Yeah. I mean...